Talks and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Three daughters of the civil rights leader Malcolm X have accused government agencies of being involved in their father's assassination in 1965.
Malcolm X once told CBS's Mike Wallace that breaking away from the Nation of Islam made him a marked man.
I probably am a dead man already.
Two men were convicted of killing him, then exonerated in 2021 when the case was reopened and it was found that investigators withheld crucial information. His daughters say the CIA, FBI, NYPD, and others were involved. Attorney Ben Crump.
We believe there is solid ground to go forward.
Peter King, CBS News.
Now to the controversial death row case of a man from Texas convicted of killing his two-year-old daughter in 2002. CBS's Janet Shamlian says the Texas Supreme Court has cleared the way for the man to become the first person in the U.S. executed for a shaken baby syndrome murder.
The Texas Supreme Court saying that basically the Texas House overstepped its jurisdiction when last month it issued a subpoena for Robert Roberson, who was on death row, and that effectively stopped his execution.
Overseas, 10 newborns have died from burns and suffocation in a fire in a neonatal intensive care unit in a hospital in northern India. Emergency responders rescued 38 newborns from the ward, which housed 49 infants at the time of the fire, the cause not yet known, before tens of thousands of fans in Arlington, Texas, at the home of the NFL's Dallas Cowboys and on Netflix around the world. 58-year-old former world heavyweight champion Mike Tyson faced 27-year-old YouTube star turned pro boxer Jake Paul.
Declaring your winner by unanimous decision, Jake
There were a lot of boos during the match. A judge has heard opening statements in the trial of an undocumented immigrant accused of killing a nursing student on the University of Georgia campus in Athens in February.
Special Prosecutor Sheila Ross says Jose Ibarra encountered Lakin Riley jogging. Her running watch recorded her heartbeat until 9:28 a.m., 18 minutes after something made Riley stop in her tracks.
Her encounter with him was long. Her fight with him was fierce.
Defense Attorney Dustin Kirby says the state's evidence requires mental gymnastics to ID Ibarra as the killer.
The evidence in this case is very good that Lakin Riley was murdered. The evidence that Jose Ibarra killed Lakin Riley is circumstantial.
Veronica Waters for CBS News Atlanta.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's now in the hands of the state Supreme Court. Wisconsin's highest judiciary will decide the fate of the state's 1849 abortion law. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
A circuit court determined last year that an 1849 law doesn't apply to medically consented abortions in Wisconsin. The high court heard arguments Monday about whether a 1985 state law overrides the older one, allowing abortions before the point at which a fetus could survive outside the womb. Jenny Higgins, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, says returning to the status quo would mean a dire landscape for abortion access.
Even though abortion is technically available at clinics in Wisconsin right now, it's heavily restricted because of insurance and Medicaid prohibitions. People have to pay out of pocket for a service that should be covered by insurance.
Abortion access disproportionately affects those who are already the most marginalized, Higgins says. She notes while people from all walks of life may find themselves needing abortion care, factors like poverty and racism make it much harder for some to achieve reproductive autonomy compared to those with more economic and social resources.
Those effects make it much harder for folks to be able to access contraceptive care, be in relationships that are stable and healthy and communicative, be able to see past the end of the day, right, into one's future, if you are, again, sort of focused mostly on your own economic scarcity or figuring out how to feed your kids or figuring out how not to get evicted.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. Clouds thicken for tomorrow, a high in the low 50s. Some showers around Saturday night, drying out for Sunday, partly sunny and a high around 50. Rain chances return to start next week. Currently 35 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by Tom Moore from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We'll discuss Trump's personnel selection process and recess appointments. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show at 10:50, our colleague at Civic Media, Melissa Kay, is going to join us. She launched a new community program.
Community Stories.
Community Stories.
Yeah.
Looking forward to learning about that with Melissa Kay. Dan Schaefer will be here to recombobulate after the 11 o'clock news. We will wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Never Forget edition.
Yeah.
If you ever have a thing that you think should not be, send it into Greg and me. At Jane Says at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Wanted to start with some Wisconsin-centric news.
Yes.
This hour, the new number two Republican leader in the Wisconsin State Senate, Senator Mary Falzkowski, is renewing a push for hospitals to be more transparent about what they charge. That's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
Right?
Yeah.
Republicans hold an 18-15 majority in the chamber. After last week's election, Democrats flipped four seats in the first election held under the new maps. This is from WPR. On Thursday, Falzkowski pushed for state governments to make medical pricing less opaque. I appeal to everyone. What do you purchase that you don't know the cost of before you buy it? Yeah.
Well, yes, I agree with that. But you don't know, you're not going to know it until you use it. Like, you know how much your insurance costs every month.
Right.
But you're not going to know how much your hospital bill is until you get out of the hospital. So they can't be like, all right, you had leg surgery due to a car accident. Do you approve this bill before we do it? You're going to see the bill after the fact.
But if it's more elective surgery.
Yeah.
If it's an elective surgery.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be able to go to a hospital's website and type it in and get whatever code it is and compare pricing.
Yeah. But they're going to tell you, but there's other things that are goals involved. There's also the thing here and the X, Y, and Z, at least A, B, and C. And that's why we can't tell you. We'd love to tell you.
We just can't.
We just can't.
Falzkowski made the same case during a press conference last year where she and others introduced a bill that later got a public hearing, but shockingly never saw a vote.
And by the way, she is a Republican.
Yeah.
So
the bill that they talked about last year would have required hospitals to keep a list on their website of 300 shoppable services or non-emergency procedures that they provide.
Yeah.
It would have also banned hospitals for charging for the information. Can you imagine if you want to do a little comparison price shopping, yeah, they're going to charge you.
Nah.
To no comparison thank you. Price shop? That seems not right.
I was going to say, and they wonder why people already stay away from hospitals and doctor's offices because of cost. Just for inquiring, get out of here.
Yeah, or they wanted people to have to set up a user account in order to read it. The state's health department would have enforced the requirements and issued fines. Belzkowski, again, from an article in today's WPR, says if employers knew what costs were, they could build out low-cost and high-quality plans. And then employers going after the plans with the lowest cost and the highest quality could eventually drive down costs for patients.
We've been talking about this for years. This is the exchange. This is
the ACA.
The ACA, what Mitt Romney did when he was governor in Massachusetts. Like, this is all just making things about transparency. And of course, there's always going to be people who are going to kick and scream and say, I'm not against transparency, Jane Mattenair. But the problem is, and then they go into a load of made up problems and like, no, we could just take care of it like this. Why competition is good.
I thought that was supposed to be good for capitalism.
Exactly. And you're still going to be rich at the end of the day. And also, if you offer a better product, people will come to you. If we lived in a world where health insurance was comparable with one another, shoppable, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think.
Cars.
Whatever, like auto mechanics. Or if I'm loving my insurance with, you know, Big Ted's insurance company, I'm loving my premium, I'm loving my deductible, I'm loving my service, and I'm loving the customer service experience, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell my friends and my family.
Word of mouth.
We don't do word of mouth with health insurance.
When the lawmakers introduced this bill last year, and again, we're talking about requiring that hospitals put a list of 300 procedures, non-emergency procedures, on their website.
Yeah.
So you can comparison shop before you go in for this elective procedure. When they introduced it last year, the Wisconsin Hospital Association said the plan is unnecessary.
Of course it is.
Because it overlaps with federal requirements. Since 2021, U.S. hospitals do have to provide clear, accessible pricing information online about the items and services that they provide, but Felskowski said last year that the Fed wasn't enforcing it.
Oh.
They weren't enforcing compliance.
That's a typical thing for the Fed to do. That's a lot of information. That's a lot of hospitals. That's a lot of clinics. That's a lot of services. Let it be a state level, or at least let the state level help. This
shouldn't be this difficult, right? I just don't understand why this is so hard, and it makes me twitchy that hospitals don't want to do this. Why? Because you like us to be surprised.
They like us to be overwhelmed, quote unquote, dumb to a certain point, and just giving up and saying, yeah, whatever. I don't like. There are easy ways to call up hospitals, insurance companies, and argue down your information. You look at your receipt and look at all the charges. You can talk about certain. You can get things crossed off. There, I've seen videos of people doing that all the time where they say, I didn't get this, or I don't need this, or this wasn't the thing, or can you take this off? What can you do? A lot of people don't argue those facts.
True.
So the harder they make it seem, the more daunting it is for Americans to, you know, go on their computer, look up their information, call up. I mean, and also people are probably equated like, this is going to be like an hour-long phone call.
Yeah.
But it might save you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
But there also seems to be something wrong with the fact that I'm going to send out a bill and then the patient can call back and say, well, this didn't happen and this didn't happen. And that sounds like, I don't know, late charge fees and hidden fees that you get when you book concert tickets.
Well, yeah. Or like a sandwich from a hospital that costs $58, you know, like it's they bank on us not prioritizing this aspect, even though it's our pocketbook. And for so long we didn't. And now you see people who are, I mean, good on the Senate president for doing this, because we need no more transparency. It'd be great to comparison shop for.
Absolutely.
And for them to work for us, you know what I mean? Like, to give us better deals instead of what they've been doing for the past, I don't know, how many decades, being a monolith that cannot be approached.
Yep. Hey, we like giving a shout out. What, you know, give credit where credit is due. I think this would be a great thing. We'll see if it goes anywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
In Colorado, they recently started the Colorado Hospital Price Finder. The governor of Colorado said Americans should be angry at being ripped off by healthcare. There's also a state-sponsored equivalent in Colorado called the Hospital Price Transparency Tool that was recently launched. Again, Mary Felskowski says these services will let the markets see more competition, and ultimately that will help us. The saddest thing I see out there is people not going to the doctor. They're not necessarily afraid of the diagnosis.
No.
They're afraid of medical bankruptcy.
Yeah.
They're afraid of what it costs.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I don't go to the doctor as much as I should because, I mean, the last time I went to a doctor, I got a bill and I was like, oh, no, it was $7 because it was a very basic physical. And my wife's insurance has physicals covered.
Right.
But it still says something a lot about our national health insurance scheme. That is, you go to the hospital, you go to the doctor, urgent care, you're going to have already anxiety because you're like, this is going to cost me anywhere between $100, $200, if not more money. I mean, the guy we talked about, this shouldn't be a thing, gets hit by an ambulance. And gets presented with the bill.
When they took him to the hospital.
And now you have to know if I've been hit by a car. Is the hospital in my network? It's craziness. It's embarrassing.
Well, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a thing. Yeah. I recently had a very, very minor procedure. I had to have a bump removed. And because of the size of it, it could have been an outpatient procedure.
Yeah.
In the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
Just me and him and a nurse.
Yeah.
Instead, because of the size of the bump, I had to go to the hospital. There were five nurses in there with me, and I wasn't under anesthesia. Didn't need it because it was a local bing bing boom boom. It's 11. I got the
bing,
bill.
Bing bing boom boom.
The bill was like $11,000.
Yeah, and
my portion for gratefully is like $600, but still,
that's still a lot of money.
It is still a lot of money.
And I just think that, you know, tell me that threshold, the size of the bump. Why does the size of the bump now require
hospitalization,
five times as many nurses, this whole thing that I need to know why, because I feel like it's just very easy to just say, well, we could do it the regular way. But, you know, if I just say, oh, too big, here you go.
But that's the insurance company requirement. It's not why?
Yeah, why does the insurance? Because they want the money. They want that money. And so, therefore, they're going to turn anything they can. That's why they'd be like, we're going to run a lot of tests on you. Oh, run the test you need to run. Thank you very much.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, all the 97 nurses that were in there with me were wonderful.
Yeah.
They were very, very lovely people. If you would like to join the conversation, give us a jingle at 855-752-4842. Tom from LA will take you on the other side of the break. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently, one of the classes I was teaching, saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Still, I know you just don't care. And I said, what about breakfast at Tiffany's?
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Talking about State Senator Mary Falzkowski, just named as a state Senate president and trying to get this medical transparency measure passed, where hospitals would have to basically list prices of 300 different procedures and tell you what they cost.
Yeah.
So you can do a little comparison shopping. Obviously, this is for non-emergency procedures.
Yeah.
Tom from LA, thank you for your patience, Tom. What did you want to say about this?
Jane, sorry if I'm going off topic a little bit, but I wanted to definitely alert people to a scam if I could. I almost got scammed on it this week. You actually, it's those wraps that go around cars, and then you're advertising, because I'm in advertising anyway, and what they do is they send you a check for $4,000, and you're like, wow, that's cool, because you have to get the wrap done on the car, and then you also need, they give you like $700 a week is what they say for advertising, and here in LA, you would think with a lot of people, it might be, you know, a truthful thing. But what they do is the check that they send you, when you take it to the bank, it'll bounce, but it won't bounce for like a week. So then when you call this other company, you end up losing $4,000. So I just wanted to make people aware of it. It's where they, you know, this one was Celsius, was the name of the energy drink. It had nothing to do with Celsius, but they do have brand ambassadors. And people, it will make you think that, oh wow, this is a little side gig, I can make a little extra money. Don't fall for it.
Okay, well,
yeah, and we do like to talk about scams and warn people about scams, Tom. I appreciate that. Calvin, did you want to jump in on this?
Yeah, I'm actually familiar with that scam. I remember when I was in college, so this was like 3 or 4 years ago. I can't remember if it was an email or a text, but I got something like this, and I was convinced it was real for a good 15 minutes.
And so it's a company saying, we want you to wrap your car.
Yeah, we'll pay you to
advertise for us.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, well.
Did they offer you $4,000? Do you remember how much they offered you?
I can't remember the price they offered.
Be careful.
Yeah, be careful.
There's always scams out there, baby. And if you ever get approached by something, go to the Better Business Bureau. Go to the Bureau of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection here in Wisconsin. And they have a long list.
Yeah, the Better Business Bureau has the scam tracker. Just Google's better. The BBB scam tracker.
They're so good. It's really very useful.
What were we talking about now?
We were talking about hospitals and hospital pricing.
Yeah.
Just very briefly. Oh, Michaela had texted something in. Michaela said, I just wanted to say, if you're in an accident or something and the hospital isn't in your network, they cannot charge you out of network prices if you didn't have a choice in where you got care. So I guess I'm assuming if you're unconscious, they're just going to take you to the nearest hospital.
I don't think Michaela is wrong, but I also find it like, I feel like they can, just because I feel like they can do whatever they want. You know what I mean? I'm not saying Michaela is incorrect. I just feel like the hospitals and the insurance companies will always work to make sure that we will get all of my pennies.
This is something we can ask Dr. Hanks about next week.
Yeah.
When she's here for public cervix announcement. We wanted to mention this quickly. Tom Tiffany is doing something, I don't know, good.
Yeah, we can talk about him. We can talk about the... Yeah.
Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany says if you depend upon the U.S. Postal Service, you want to pay attention to potential changes in delivery times. They're trying to streamline the delivery for the U.S. Postal Service, but I have real concerns, along with another many members of Congress, that they're going to leave rural America behind. Well, Louis DeJoy, who is the Postmaster General, got in there.
Yep. He wanted to make it real hard for our votes to get counted.
That too. If you're more than 50 miles, for example, from a processing location like Milwaukee, Green Bay, or Minneapolis, expect an extra day for deliveries. And Tiffany says this is a problem for people who pay bills or get their checks and medicine through the mail. Yes. Yes, that is a big problem.
Yeah. So those folks out there in the rural areas, they're trying to squeeze you on this too now. So whether, yeah, please be on the lookout. Please be mindful of this.
And try and stay a couple of days ahead.
Yeah. And if you have to use other modes of you know, whether you can use UPS or FedEx, that's a little faster. But yeah, this is, I don't even understand. Well, you know, it's budgetary reasons. They want to cut costs. They want to cut $3 billion, if I'm not mistaken. And they don't care who it affects. And they're going to affect rural people.
A lot of rural people.
A lot of rural people.
Unfortunately.
And they don't have to care about them. Because it'll be, oh, it's only another day or two. Well, that day or two can be a big deal.
If you live within 50 miles of a regional processing and distribution center, you should get the mail in the same amount of time. But USPS also plans to eliminate afternoon pickup times in those areas. Tiffany says this has real-world consequences, especially when there are existing issues with the timeliness of rural mail service.
Yep. Yes.
Tiffany says there is no timeline on if or when these changes will kick in. He and 19 other members of Congress have written to Postmaster General Louis DeJoy about the impacts that longer delivery times will have on rural residents. Well, I hope something gets done to address that, because that's going to have far-reaching consequences, especially for, I get some meds through the mail. Now I think a lot of people get their meds through the mail.
I mean, I think it's just a matter of, hey, let's fund the USPS. Or, I mean, I know it's a weird line that they are a private group, but they're in a
bad spot.
But they should not be making budget cuts like this that are going to affect people in this way. I mean, it's the mail. It's the U.S. mail. It's supposed to be reliable. And cutting services and delivery times, that's not, you just want to, this, it's another thing you just want to suffocate and make private, like fully private, like, and,
yeah, privatized,
Steve's,
yeah,
mail service.
Steve and Bill's mail to go.
And taxidermy and polling service.
That too. News is coming up next. When we return, we're going to take another look at all the best people round two. Oh boy.
Best and the brightest.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Brief. Some members of Malcolm X family are accusing government agencies of being involved in the 1965 assassination of the civil rights leader. Here's CBS's Peter King.
His three daughters say the CIA, FBI, NYPD, and others played roles in his death nearly 60 years ago.
A fire at a hospital in northern India has killed 10 newborns. The BBC's David Harper.
Officials said the fire, which broke out in the neonatal intensive care unit, was possibly caused by an electrical fault. Around 16 other children are injured and are being treated.
A government spokesman now says a short circuit within the oxygen equipment may have started the fire. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski says some of President-elect Donald Trump's choices for his cabinet were unexpected.
Some of the early picks, I think, were surprising. They were surprising to me. Maybe they're not surprising to many who are
are very close within the Trump world.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A huge win for Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers honored their Final Four team from 10 years ago, and Hall of Fame coach Bo Ryan then went out and beat number 9th ranked Arizona, 103-88. Head coach Greg Gard.
Coach Ryan having the banner raised, and then how these guys played. I was most proud of the response when it was 65-all. That showed me the guts and the toughness that is starting to develop with this group, and it's a good step in the right direction.
College football tonight, the Badgers host Oregon at 6:30. NFL, Packers and Bears at noon tomorrow in Chicago. The team hoping for the return of rookie running back Marshawn Lloyd, out 2 months with an ankle injury. Offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich.
Yeah, I can't wait to get him back in the fold. Obviously, his explosive potential, his quickness.
So why wasn't Lloyd at practice Friday?
You can't make this stuff up. Unfortunately, he had appendicitis. So, you know, it's a shame.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 30s. Clouds thicken for tomorrow, a high in the low 50s. Some showers around Saturday night, drying out for Sunday, partly sunny and a high around 50. Rain chances return to start next week. Right now it's 33.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will take a look at what happened over the weekend. Don't worry, nothing. Well, yeah, some things are going to happen over the weekend. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. We're going to get around to a little Putz next hour.
Ugh, don't ever say that sentence again.
Let me rephrase that. We're going to talk about Elmo next hour.
He's staring at you, Jane.
At 11:33.
If you're watching the live stream.
Turns out that offer of $1 million to get people to register to vote might have been, I don't know, illegal.
Looks like it was fixed.
It does look like it was fixed.
I don't know.
That's coming up next hour at 11:33. Coming up at 10:50, really looking forward to speaking with our colleague Melissa Kay from Civic Media. She has got a new series called Community Stories.
Yeah.
With Melissa Kay. And she just, the premiere episode just dropped. You can find it at civicmedia.us. Mm-hmm. And she speaks with three veterans about their various experiences in the service and the organizations that they are a part of today. So we're going to be talking about that with Melissa Kay coming up at 10:50. We did, though, want to do a little update on all the best people round two as the president-elect continues to announce who he would like to fill his cabinet with. He announced last night that he has picked North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum to lead the Interior Department. Burgum is an aggressive champion of the oil industry. Trump has also said that scrapping rules that inhibit drilling, the burning of fossil fuels, and exporting liquefied natural gas will be a top priority of his administration.
Who have we talked to on this topic? I'm trying to remember his name.
If only there were some guest who has been working in the oil and gas industry, like actually in the field.
Senior Roundearth is his name?
No, it's I think. Oh. Wait, don't tell me. Mr. Global.
That's right.
Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, has been a guest on our show several times over the last couple of months because this kept coming up during the run-up to the election that Donald Trump is going to unleash American energy, which President Biden's policies have killed.
Which is wrong.
That is wrong. We do have a clip from Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, talking about the Exxon CEO has come out. And the CEO of Exxon, just take a moment. Let that burble. The CEO of Exxon has said, there's nothing to unleash. We're already unleashed. We're free, baby. Let's play that clip, please, Calvin, from Mr. Global talking about Exxon's CEO.
Let me just show you what he said. Okay, so he said Trump won't be able to unleash new energy production. Why? But this is the important part. Why? Because U.S. production is not constrained, and there's not an opportunity to unleash more production in the near term because most operators in the U.S. are already optimizing their production today. The CEO of Exxon saying that U.S. production is not constrained is a complete and total rebuke of everything the Republican Party, the American Petroleum Institute, and Big Oil has been saying for the last 4 years. He's basically saying that was all a crock, which is exactly what I've been saying for the last 4 years. I've had thousands of arguments on this app with people who are talking about how bad Joe Biden made it for the oil and gas industry. And now we have the CEO of Exxon saying, not constrained. They're all optimizing their production.
And just because you want companies to produce more does not mean they're going to do that if it's going to affect their profits.
And also another point of to bring up is that he has talked about it on this show and in other videos. Natural gas.
Yes.
Natural gas is incredibly cheap. And the reason why is because they've gotten so much of it.
We're so good at producing it.
We're so good at producing it. It's not expensive. It doesn't need to be expensive. Drill, baby, drill. This is not an opinion. This is fact. We have, I don't know how many uncommitted contracts throughout the United States, because I think Joe Biden released 2,500
leases.
Leases. Thank you.
Yep.
And they're not, and people aren't signing up for them because they aren't necessary because they're drilling so much. We have a perfect amount of oil for ourselves. We export lots of oil.
Yes.
And this is not liberal, lily white, you know, left wing talking points. This is coming from a oil and gas expert, Mr. Global, Matt Randolph. Drill, baby, drill is a red herring, and it's just a fun thing to yell at audiences because they think we'll be off it forever. We don't need other countries. No, other countries actually need us,
and we still need other countries.
Yes.
for their oil.
Yes,
we do. Doug Burgum, of course, again. Donald Trump positing him for Secretary of the Interior, is an aggressive champion of the oil industry, a close ally of oil tycoon Harold Hamm.
You made that name up.
I did not. It's right here. from the Washington Post.
My name is Harold Hamm.
The two were among Trump's top energy advisors during his campaign. Burgum's appointments as head of the interior will give Hamm expansive influence over policy related to drilling on public lands. While, this is a shocking sentence, his company stands to benefit greatly from the rule changes that Trump wants to enforce. I know that's a shock.
Couple things about that. First of all, I'm still not convinced Harold Hamm is a real name. Second, if Doug Burgum is such an oil expert and advocate and insider, he knows this information already that drilling is not, like, more drilling isn't going to help anything. This is about the destruction of beautiful land.
Public lands.
Public lands that were first protected by the 26th president of this United States, Teddy Roosevelt. By the way, Republican, who believed that conservation was as much a fiduciary responsibility to this country or to our government. Folks out there, we talk about this all the time. Wisconsin, beautiful lands. Conservation is in our blood. We believe that they need to be kept safe,
yes,
and accessible.
And protected.
Protected and, to some case, free to see. This is what they want to do. They want to stick a big sign there saying, now property of so-and-so's oil company. And guess what? They'll ruin those lands.
Well, that's like Sand Island.
Yes.
In the Apostle Islands.
Yep.
This is why it appears, speaking of Tom Tiffany, he wants to turn it into a national park. He wants to turn it from a national lakeshore to a national park. And that would allow mining on Sand Island.
Mining. Development. Money.
Which, it doesn't seem like all of the surrounding communities are very excited about that.
And if you look at where the Apostle Islands sit, in Wisconsin, and look at the voting map from 2024. Pretty blue.
Pretty blue.
They're not happy about this.
No, they aren't. This will be interesting to see what happens. If you would like to hear more from Mr. Global, and I highly recommend you do, again, Matt Randolph has been in the industry for over 30 years. He owns his own oil and gas company.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not ExxonMobil.
No.
But he is still in the industry, and he knows of what he speaks. He's got the charts. He's got the graphs. He's got the expertise to annoy all of us.
And also, we don't have to actually say any of this stuff. All we needed to say was the CEO of Exxon has said that this is a fool's errand. I have a feeling, just call it a hunch, that the CEO of Exxon isn't some loony left crunchy liberal who's sitting there just, you know, burning his kombucha. I swear to God. Tell me that it's fake then. Tell me that we're making it up. Tell me that we're wrong. Who out there has the same kind of expertise as Matt Randolph? Tell me how we're wrong then.
You can find Matt has his own channel on YouTube.
Yes.
He also does show up on TikTok and what used to be Twitter. But I think the majority of his content now, it sounds like he's going to be concentrating on YouTube.
Yeah, I think that's the best platform for him because you can do shorts, you can do long videos.
So check him out on YouTube. Mr. Global, Matt Randolph.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back through our archives.
Words are hard. Words are hard.
Go back through
go through our archives.
Yeah, go to the website. civicmedia.us. Click on shows. Click on Matt Nair on Air. And then look for Mr. Global's past appearances. He's very knowledgeable. It's really opened my eyes in a lot of different ways. And he breaks it down in a way that's very understandable.
Yeah, absolutely. He's no nonsense.
Yep.
And you may hold values that he disagrees with, but it's not because it's ideological. It's because it's based on fact when it comes
to
this topic. Like,
yes.
You say like he has enough facts to annoy everyone, but like I learned some stuff about fracking when
we're going to have him talk. We're going to have him back.
We'll have him back regularly. He likes us. Like him.
And he's a busy guy.
Yes, he is.
But hopefully he'll be able to come back in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And talk about
all the stuff.
All the stuff.
Are there any other best and brightest people?
We have another all the best people round two, of course. Robert Kennedy Jr.
Bab Jr.
Donald Trump would like to name him the head of Health and Human Services. This is a big group.
Yes. Like the DOJ.
It's the FDA. Yep. It's the Affordable Care Act. It's Medicare and Medicaid. The Health and Human Services has it's a big umbrella, and it controls a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about JFK or Bob Kennedy Jr.,
yeah,
he has long been against vaccines.
Yes.
Long time vaccine skeptic.
He likes to say skeptic. Some people say denier, but he's vocally throwing shade at vaccines.
And just raising, you know, questions and linking vaccines with autism when there have been studies done on this that have not found a correlation between vaccines and autism. I saw one woman on Twitter put, "I have three children. They all got vaccinated. One of them developed autism. The other two did not."
Well, it all goes back to the study that was debunked years ago that people still refer to this day. People are like, well, the study says that it could be linked to autism. No, this study was debunked. This guy was not shamed, but like he's not allowed.
He's discredited.
Basically, yeah. Thank you very much. Words are hard. But yet people still get to say, and people like him who have the money, the name.
Yes. Which makes a big difference.
Doesn't matter that his family has since disowned him, essentially.
Right.
He's still a Kennedy. And the fact that a Kennedy is linked to a Trump talking about vaccinations and autism and what is it? He says enough. We have a clip, don't we? Because he says enough.
Well, this is Robert Kennedy Jr. appearing on CNN, asked about his vaccine stance. Calvin, let's play clip number two, please.
Difficult question. Can you name any vaccines that you think are good?
I think some of the live virus vaccines are probably averting more problems than they're causing. There's no vaccine that is, you know, safe and effective.
So you did say it. Do you still believe it?
Well, here's what I would say. First of all, I'm not anti-vaccine.
You're not.
How is that statement not anti-vaccine?
Well, I can say right now there is no medicine for cancer that's safe and effective. It doesn't mean I'm against all medicines.
That's not accurate either.
I've been fighting 40 years to get mercury out of fish. Nobody calls me anti-fish.
First of all, sir, that's a stupid thing to say. Stop saying it out loud to people who can listen to you talk. Second of all, I know somebody who is a doctor, a high-up doctor who works. He is not just he's a doctor and he's qualified.
Right.
And I said to him.
And he's a researcher.
Yes. And I said to him this statement, and I said, there is no cancer vaccine that is safe and effective. He responded back within 10 seconds. That is incorrect. And it probably goes without saying, I can't mention his name. I will not mention his name. But the HPV vaccine is a cancer vaccine that is extremely safe and effective as the most prominent example of killing cervical cancer rates.
Yep, that's made a big difference in cervical cancer rates.
Yes.
It really has.
So he is wrong and dangerous when he says things like that.
Well, and the other thing to keep in mind, my friends, is Donald Trump's transition team is bypassing FBI background checks for several of his cabinet picks, including Matt Gaetz, and instead using private companies to vet them. What could possibly go wrong?
People are going to jail.
Melissa Kay will be here when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that? And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Happy Friday. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide coming to you from our studio at our home at Radio Park here in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Next hour at this same time, we will wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Never Forget edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, at civicmedia.us. She is our colleague at WFHR. Melissa Kay is here. Good morning, lady. How are you? I feel like I haven't seen you in ages.
It has been ages. Good morning, Jane. Well, always a pleasure to see you.
Well, thanks for making some time to join us. Tell us a little bit about Community Stories with Melissa Kay. This is something that just dropped on our website at civicmedia.us.
Yes, our new show kicked off this week. There's actually two shows. So Community Stories focuses on our general stories. We start with a veteran series. So you get to hear stories from our veterans in the area. And Jane, these stories are wonderful. There's so much, like, I just smile the entire time that I'm doing the editing, listening to these stories from our veterans, and then them talk passionately about the need for veterans to join veteran organizations. Because those, you know, even if they just join and come to one meeting or they show up on Zoom, those are names on the register for those organizations that Congress sees. And then they see those numbers and the importance and for funding for these veteran organizations.
Because that has been a problem for a couple of decades, hasn't it, Ben, Melissa, with the with the younger veterans not necessarily going to joining some of these groups.
Right. And some of the misconceptions about what veteran organizations do or what they're about, they are vital to our communities. Our VFW Post 2534 here in Wisconsin Rapids does so much good for our community. And they understand that a lot of these younger veterans, they have families, they have kids in soccer, they have, you know, kids in ballet classes, they're busy, but they can also come to the meetings by Zoom. You know, that's one great thing that came out of the pandemic. We have a lot more variety of ways that people can be, you know, participate in these organizations.
That's so important if you're especially in a rural area, Melissa, and you just if you just can't get there. But I think your initial point that if you join your local VFW or your local group and you get your name on the list, when they want to lobby Congress for something, they can see this is our membership list.
Right. Right. And that matters. And that makes that is something that they can look back on and stand on. And so that airs on Tuesdays from 5 to 6. We're doing the veteran series first. Next, I hope to do interviews with our first responders. So police, firefighters, EMTs, potentially like doctors and nurses, people who are on the front lines of helping keep our community safe, why they joined, why they're doing the job they're doing. So it's our voices telling stories in our community. And then on,
please keep going. I was going to ask you about the process, but please keep going.
Well, then I want to share that on Thursdays is Community Stories Junior.
Ooh.
Yeah. So this focuses on our young people. And the first episode, the pilot episode, I started with an interview with the Nakusa Middle School principal, Jason Julius, who is just really excited about the program that Mr. Benjamin Peters, one of the technology teachers at the in the district, is working on. They have a 1-to-1 ratio of students to 3D printers in this technology classroom. And so these students are learning how to use a 3D printer starting at sixth grade.
Wow.
That's so, cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. So they design a product one day and then they print it the next day. And then what Mr. Peters is doing is he's collaborating with local businesses and getting these young people to talking with business leaders in our area of what products can you design for our business or what products does the business need that the students can design.
Wow.
So they're doing like they're doing paperweights, they're doing, you know, tags for office building rooms. I mean, you know, these are an introduction into manufacturing for young people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Engineering. And if they continue with this program all the way through, you know, starting in middle school, all the way through high school, they can potentially graduate high school with a degree, with a ready to go. They're ready to start a job in
there
an engineering
you go.
Well, and it just seems like a great way to develop entrepreneurs too, mm-hmm. and encourage kids to, you know, think a little bit more outside the box.
And that's what Mr. Julius, the principal, was talking about. Like, this is just getting them to think about what they like, what they want to do, and having exposure to all of these different things, which is why STEAM is so important in our classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the science, math, technology,
right.
arts, education.
Yeah.
And then at the end of Community Stories Junior is a special little tale time story that's is focusing on Kevin the Cat right now. But it's Adventures with Our Animal Friends. So it's an original story that I wrote that it's like
sweet.
Kind of an old time radio drama type story with sound effects and music. And it follows a cat that I rescued named Kevin and his adventures. So it's a four kids radio hour on Thursdays from 5 to 6.
Oh, that is awesome, Melissa. If people can find it on the web, correct? If they
yes.
if they can't listen to terrestrial radio, they can hear all these episodes on the web.
Absolutely. They're available on our civicmedia.us website. Go to shows, look for Community Stories. And once you click into the page, you'll find the different, the Community Stories and Community Stories Junior.
I can't wait. I want to know more about Kevin the Cat.
I want to be part of the story. I want to like read something, be like, I want to be Kevin the Cat.
Next time you need
Maybe
voices.
I'll call on you.
Next time you need voices, we're there for you.
Yeah.
Melissa
awesome.
Kay from WFHR and behind Community Stories. Check it out at civicmedia.us. Thank you so much, Melissa. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you too. Appreciate it.
News is coming up next. When we return, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Madison filmmaker and musician James Runde. And Civic Media host Earl Ingram joins the show to talk about his favorite film noirs. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. It was a highly anticipated boxing match where the hits didn't match the hype. 27-year-old social media star turned pro boxer Jake Paul has beaten 58-year-old former world heavyweight champion Mike Tyson in a unanimous decision after 8 2-minute rounds.
Mike Tyson, it's such an honor. Let's give it up for Mike, bro. He's a legend. He's the greatest to ever do it.
The fight was shown on Netflix, and it was seen live by tens of thousands of people at the home of the NFL's Dallas Cowboys in Arlington, Texas. A fire in the neonatal intensive care unit of a hospital in northern India has killed 10 newborns. The BBC's Andrew Clarence.
Video on social media from the hospital site showed inconsolable parents breaking down as they asked for their children. Medical officials said there were 49 babies in the ward when the fire broke out inside an oxygen concentrator. The fire spread quickly.
President Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping will meet today at the Asia-Pacific Summit in Peru. The BBC's David Bamford says Xi has already met a fellow Asian leader there and may have gotten an earful.
Japan says that its Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba, who met China's President Xi Jinping for the first time on the sidelines of the APEC summit, voiced his serious concern over Beijing's growing military activity in the East China Sea. President Xi, meanwhile, called on Japan to handle issues such as Taiwan carefully.
President-elect Donald Trump's choice to lead the Pentagon is trying to save his nomination, says CBS.